don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your host, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they call me
home. Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight with our guest, Mr. Henry Wade. And we're going to hear more about what he's doing in our community. But before we bring him on, let me welcome Boyd to the show.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the hottest show worldwide. And we want to thank everybody for tuning in every Wednesday night from around the world. Like my beautiful queen said, we got my main man, Mr. Wade, in the house tonight. But before we go to Mr. Wade, we're going to give our shout-outs and updates right quick. The first shout-out we would like to give to is Mother Green, and that's Evangelist, Beverly Broaddus Green, which is Snoop Dogg's mother. We had a great time with her this past Friday. She had her book signing at Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles up in Long Beach, and it was off the chain. Wasn't an empty seat in the place. So we want to say thank everybody who came out and supported Mother Green. Now, we want to give another shout-out to my man John, Mark and D-Love over at the Copa Magazine for always supporting us. And we want to thank Mark and D-Love for coming out in California with us on Sunday. They had a great time and had to see certain things close up and straight up personal. So we want to thank you guys. We want to also thank Vicki Lindsley, our friend in California. We've been working with her for 5 years. Her organization is called Project Cry No More. We want to thank Skip and Big John. Their organization is called Second Call. We've also been working with them for 5 years. We want to thank Minister Tony Muhammad and Mr. Charles Muhammad for their great assistance in that big event we had, the Peace Ride out there, along with Vicky and them. Also, we want to thank all our soldiers who educate against gangs, drugs, and violence in all 150 prisons that we're in, men and women, and out here in the street as well. We also want to thank my homeboy, the Real Fred Ricky Ross, for always being down from way back in the day to up to now. We want to thank our man, Joyce Jung. The people that might not know Joyce Jung, he's the young man that Johnny Depp did the movie on back in 2001, the movie called Blow. He has a new book and a movie coming out called Heavy. And Mr. Joyce just got out June 4th. He did 20 years on that case. And we want to thank Ms. Donna Buchanan. She's been a member for 3 years now. She did 13 years in prison and came home, and my wife did her book called Second Chance Runaway. I want to thank my two brothers, Marvell and Christopher, that's doing life sentences, and they also work with the movement, Educating Behind the Walls. And with that being said and done, we're going to bring our main man online, and he's going to formally introduce himself, and we're going to get this thing popping.
Hey, good evening.
How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, Rob. Doing wonderful. Lucinda, it's nice to hear your voice as well. Thank you very much for having me.
It's all good. So formally introduce yourself to the viewers, Mr. Wade, and we're going to go ahead and get this great interview started.
Well, my name is Henry Wade. Henry M. Wade, Jr. from Los Angeles. Grew up right there at 71st Street in Raymond, Florence, Normandy, for those of you who know the geography. Graduated from Crenshaw High School back in 1973. I think that was the third class, and went on and did some things in life, joined the Air Force, and we can talk about all that later. But right now I'm here in the city of Maricopa, Arizona, running for city council.
My man. So the first question I would like to ask you, Mr. Wade, how did you get involved with the politics leading up to right now?
That's a funny story, because if you had talked to me back in 2007, 2008 and said that I would be running for city council here in Maricopa, I would say that you were crazy. But it all started with attending a planning and zoning meeting here in Maricopa is a suburb of Phoenix, southeast of Phoenix. But started getting involved in the community, was selected to be seated at the Planning and Zoning Commission. I served 4 years and 1 year as vice chair, and just stayed engaged in the community, doing a number of other things. That was just that part of living here in Maricopa. My involvement extends all the way back to when I was 15 years old there in Florence and Normandy, working with the kids in my community, doing things there. But kind of got involved in politics here through, as I said, the Planning and Zoning Commission, and I actually ran for county supervisor, what we call county supervisor as well, in Los Angeles. I ran for county supervisor here in Pinal County, and then wasn't successful in that, but did very well, even though I didn't have a name recognition or anything. Ran against a two-term mayor, and got 42% of the vote overall, so which was good. So now we're here running for city council. Looks like we've got 5 more days before the election, November the 4th, and we're looking pretty good.
My man. So, Mr. Wade, I want to ask you, what is it that you bring to the table with this vision that you see for Maricopa?
I think positive energy. I think that's the most significant thing, and community service. You know, as I said before, you know, I've been involved in serving my community since I was a young person, you know, and I think that shows when you are unselfish and you give to the community, people gravitate towards that. They see that. They recognize that. Positive energy is what allows you to be able to work with people from whatever walk of life they come from, you know, wherever they grew up, their socioeconomic, cultural, ethnic group, wherever they come from. If you have that positive energy, you're able to, people see that and they want to work with you. And I think that's what I bring, is that positive energy. Because, as I said, I joined the Air Force. I spent 20 years in the Air Force, retired from the Air Force. And one of the things about it is, our idea was, what was the mission? What did you have to accomplish? It didn't matter where you came from, the focus on the mission. And I've always been mission-oriented. And having that positive energy and being mission-oriented, I think that's what I bring the most. I think that's what people see the most when they think about it. Because the other things take care of themselves. The responsibility of city council is public safety, transportation, economic development. These things will take care of themselves because that's the way the city runs and operates. But you've got to have a group of people who are willing to work together to get those things done. And I think I work well with others, so that's what I bring.
My man. So as of right now, Mr. Wade, what else do you see that's lacking in the community of Maricopa right now today?
Well, you know, I think there are a number of things that are lacking. I think the lack of jobs and decent paying jobs in the immediate community is probably the most significant, particularly as it relates to young people. You know, that group of people between the ages of 17 and 25 or 17 and 30 that maybe grew up here and didn't come here with jobs or maybe graduated from high school, went on to college, and then maybe came back home, the lack of well-paying jobs, I think it's what's lacking here. And I think if we had that type of economic development, I think that would make a big difference in our community. And there are a number of other things. We have some transportation issues. Those of you who are familiar with Maricopa know that we have a train track that runs through the center of town. That train track, because we run anywhere between 80 and 90 trains a day, it basically cuts off one half of the town from the other at certain times of the day. It becomes an emergency issue if you've got emergency services needed on one side or the other and they can't get there. But we're working towards what we call the 347 overpass, where we can have a road that goes over the tracks, and that will remove that north versus south, the south versus north stigma by having a tray or a rope that goes over the track and you can go straight through. So that's something that is definitely in the works right now. And there are other things to, as well.
Sounds great. So I'm going to pass the mic over to my wife, and let her ask you a few questions, Mr. Wade. And we definitely appreciate you coming on the show tonight.
Thank you. Appreciate being here. Thank you very much, Rob.
Hello. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Thank you, Lucinda. How are you?
I'm just fine. Thank you. I wanted to talk a little bit about the youth, and I know that there's a lot of school programs and summer programs and things with sports for some of the kids, but do you feel that maybe there's stuff within the city that's lacking for activities to keep our youth busy and away from doing the wrong things?
Yeah, as I said, you know, I think that group between, you know, say 12 and 30, that group, you know, we have a group that are skaters. We just opened a 98-acre park here in Maricopa. It's called Copper Sky Multi-Generational Center. It has baseball diamonds, soccer fields, all the workout equipment that you can imagine, rooms for special events, daycare centers, swimming pools. It's it's got kind of a little swimming pool area, a meandering rivers, and it's a great place. But that it doesn't necessarily support that other group. There's a skating park there, but the skate park doesn't allow for, say, BMX bicycles. So there's another group that's kind of left out that we need to try to figure out some type of services for them to support them as well. One nice thing we do have that we have access to, I would say, is the Akchin in Native American community, and the community, our neighbors, have a multi-screen facility that has a bowling alley and laser tag and all that. And that kind of, you know, helps along the way, but there are other things that we could possibly do. And we have a homeless youth population in the city of Maricopa as well that is being serviced by some nonprofit organization. There's an organization called Families First that helps to support homeless youth in the high school. And so there are organizations that are here available to help, but it just needs, you know, more energy, more time, and of course, the ultimate dollars, you know, to help fund programs.
Right. Now, growing up in Los Angeles, what kept you away from getting involved in the different gangs? And maybe back then it wasn't so much gangs as it is now, but what kept you on the straight and narrow?
Well, it's interesting. As I said, I graduated from Crenshaw in 1973, so, you know, that was the time that the Bloods and the Crips were really just starting to get started. I was supposed to go to Washington because of where I live, but my mother didn't want me to go to Washington because of that reason. And so we got together as a group of friends of mine. I had some friends that went to Catholic school, and I actually went to Catholic school for a short period of time. And so we got together and formed our own little social club, if you will, called ourselves Funkadelic LTD. And anybody out there in your listening audience that may remember that, you know, we had sweaters made up, you know. we were on it, you know, you knew who Funkadelic was, so you know what that was all about. So we had, we would go together to parties and stay together as a group of both men, young men and young women. And what was nice about it is the parents, and even the parents of the young women, trusted us. Because we trusted each other. We looked out for each other. So that's kind of how well we did to help avoid things. But we had our share of tragedy as well. I mean, there's a really dear friend of mine. His name was Robert Ballou. And again, people in the listening audience of my age, and that would be between 55 and 60, would remember this. He was killed at the Hollywood Palladium over a leather coat. It was actually, to my knowledge, the first time that gangs, the Bloods or the Crips, hit national news as a result of an incident like that. And so Robert was killed in 1972 and was part of Funkadelic. And so, you know, the reason we gathered was for that purpose of support. But even then, you know, you still were subject to violence at times. But we just chose not to, you know, have ourselves in an environment where we have to worry about it. And we got respect. We used to have some mad parties. We threw some mad parties. And so people mm-hmm. who would come to our parties to live in the neighborhood and the community gave much love and much respect, and I appreciate that. So our things would go off. Plus, my mother was kind of a crazy woman. I think people already knew that. So she was kind of crazy, but she would make a big old pot of spaghetti. Everybody was at home. You know, we partying in my garage, eat spaghetti, and just be at home. So I think that had a lot to do with it.
Yeah. What do you think the turning point was? And I know groups like yours, the Funkadelics, you know, there was, I think, pretty much more good, clean, fun, support, friendship, working together. Where do you think it all turned and the lack of respect and morals and everything kind of kicked in and the violence started?
Well, you know, survival does that. You know, I mean, if you don't have access to things that, you know, I remember my Uncle Robbie, he used to coach baseball over at Harvard Park. But again, so listen up and know where I'm talking about, Harvard Park. You know, this was a guy in the community that just took it on himself to go out and teach kids how to play baseball, you know. So we started losing guys like him because they were doing other things. They got older, they were doing other things, and the younger group behind them weren't coming up and picking up the mantle, so to speak, and doing the same thing. It's kind of like what Rob is doing now. We weren't doing that back in the day. And I think there was a place, mm-hmm. there was a time where money became so much more important than anything, became more important to family and everything else, you know, that I think people lost track. And, of course, the introduction of cane
crack.
In mm-hmm. the community had a major significant event. I have one of my younger brothers was one of the first persons to go to serve federally under the crack law when the crack law was introduced, you know. And so,
wow.
you know, that was just devastating, both from the fact of what it did to people who were using it and what it did to people who were distributing it, you know. So I think that had a lot to do with
right. it. And that kind of just came in like a tsunami, and it just took over cities and inner cities and destroyed yeah. families and communities. And
yeah.
and
yeah.
then
LA
and it's gone.
LA
I mean, it's not
anyway.
Gone,
yeah.
but... Right, right. It spread cross-country like wildfire.
Right, exactly.
Destroying a lot of families and a lot of people. So what advice do you have for the youth or even the, you know, older people about staying away from that kind of lifestyle?
Well, you know, I would say, Lucinda, that even if you're in that, There are people who can come out of it. Like I shared with you about one of my brothers, you know, I have another younger brother who was behind him that just didn't go that route. That just wasn't what he was all about, you know. Unfortunately, we lost a nephew here a few years ago because of gang violence, and not because he was involved in any gangs, but because he just happened to be standing out in front of his house, minding his own business. You
right.
know, people, you know, drove by, shot him, killed him, 14 years old. And his mother had spent
wow.
years keeping him away from that kind of element.
Right.
Well,
right.
the impact that had on my brother, who was one of the people who created that climate, was significant.
Mm-hmm.
It was very interesting because he felt that the things that he had done, like bad karma, had come back to haunt him in the form of
right.
us losing our nephew. You know, so
mm-hmm.
it is, you know, it's tough. You know, I just say, you know, you've got to find positive outlets in order to exercise that energy that you have, whether it be music or sports, theater, to find ways to express yourself in a positive way. And, you know, you don't have to go that route. I know sometimes we kind of get stuck in a mold that this is where I have to be because, you know, my boys or my girls won't think I'm down with them or anything like that. Well, you'd be surprised
right.
how much respect you get from your boys and your girls when they see you moving on, even though you're loyal to you know, you're loyal to the game, but at the same token, you got other things that you're doing. That respect, you get mad respect. It's like, again, it's like Rob does. You know, he gets mad respect for being out there in the community and being supportive of the community. That if young people would
right.
understand that and believe that and truly believe that, then their lives were different routes.
Right, exactly. Well, I'm going to hand the mic back over to Boyd for a little bit. And thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
Yes, sir, Mr. Wade. Now I just want to say, Mr. Wade, let the people know where they can go vote at here in Maricopa and if they need to get early ballot in or what they need to do.
Sure, thank you. Yeah, and early ballots have to be turned in by November the 2nd. But at this point, you should try to get them in. If you've got early ballots already and have not filled them in or sent them in, you should try to get them in. I'd say the latest in tomorrow, Friday at the absolute latest, to get them to the elections department in Pinal County, Florence, there in Pinal County on time. If not, it would be best to just take the early ballot to whatever polling place you would normally vote in, and you can turn it in there. It will become a provisional ballot, which means that the other ballots will be counted before it, but your ballot, your vote will be counted. And I think that's the most important thing to remember, is if you take your ballots to the poll, they will be counted. If you just leave them at home and don't vote, don't turn them in, your voice will not be heard. So I think it's important for everybody to get that ballot, either get it in the mail probably tomorrow, latest tomorrow, and if not, take it to the polls on Tuesday, November the 4th. And if you need to find out where your polling place is, if you don't remember or maybe it's changed, you can go to pinalcounty.gov and look up polling locations, and it'll tell you where your polling place is located.
My man. And also give them your website or Facebook site or whatever, Mr. Wade, if somebody
okay.
want to jump on there and see what's happening.
Okay. Okay, yeah, my website for Team Wade is www.teamwade2014.com. That's team, TEAMWADE, 2014.com. That's my website. And
right,
you can hit me up there, and I'll respond back, or you can send me an email once you get there on the site. And that site takes you to other places, to the City of Maricopa's website and other places for events. But it's important.
Yes,
it's most important if you're registered to vote, get out there and vote. And there's one other thing that's happening on the Maricopa ballot, and that is the Maricopa Unified School District override. Whereas we're trying to support the kids with the funding that they need to get additional teachers. To get additional instructional technology, support staff. These are things that are needed. And so we're asking people to vote yes on the override. We've floated the override a couple of times, and it hasn't gone through. But and then one of the things people talk about is accountability. We have the accountability with the governing school board, as well as the administration led by Dr. Steve Chestnut, and accountability by the MUSD Finance and Accounting Department, who will do the oversight. So it's not the same group of people who have, you know, kind of messed up in the past. This is a new group, and so we need for that override to pass. You guys still there?